Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Peter is down in Costa Mesa for Rams and Chargers camp. He was just up in Santa Clara talking with the 49ers. And Peter King will be joining us throughout football season, 5 o'clock each and every Tuesday, I believe, which means right around this time each and every week, you're going to be getting Peter King here on 95.7 The Game, including today. Peter, thank you for joining us once again. How was your trip to Santa Clara?
I enjoyed it. You know, it was brief. I saw one practice, but it was a practice that I thought was really, really telling because Trey Lance took every snap in the practice. It wasn't a long practice, but he took every snap. And you can tell that, you know, what I wrote in my story about it was that these, for a guy who's as inexperienced as Trey Lance, a day like that is really, really important because, you know, as I've said on a few occasions, this is a guy who, since he graduated from high school, has thrown 389 passes in football games that count. And he is being asked to take a team that went to the Final Four last year to go to the final one. and every opportunity for him to be playing against good players at a high level of competition is important. So a practice like that, I think, means something.
How much then does Kyle Shanahan resent the fact that he's got to play a game or play three exhibition games when he could use six more practices?
You know, Ray, I think he's pragmatic about all this. You know, he understands, and every person in the NFL understands what the rules are. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to practice twice in Minnesota. They may have done one today, but they're off today.
Yeah, travel day.
They practice the next 2 days, yeah. And so, you know, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to play. You know, as Shanahan told me, it's more important for him to get reps in practice against opposing good defenses. And so I don't think they're bemoaning their fate about how little real opportunities they have. I think that's one of the reasons why Shanahan and the Niners wanted to practice against somebody this summer. You know, wanted to practice really against a team on the road in a different environment. And so they'll have a good opportunity to do that against the Vikings.
Peter King joining us on 95.7 The Game. So to say that expectations are always high for a 49ers quarterback is a huge understatement. As a matter of fact, we just did a little thought experiment with some of our callers, asking them to call in and give us what they thought statistically would be a good year for Trey Lance in his first year as a starter. And a lot of those numbers kind of bore out to what was Steve Young's first year starting 16 game for the Niners, which was, you know, his eighth year as a pro and a guy who knew an awful lot about the league. So what our image for a good year is statistically for Trey Lance, you know, again, he's got a starting point of future Hall of Fame quarterbacks in terms of fans' expectations. So let me ask you, Peter, assuming Trey Lance is healthy and starts 16, 17 games, injury-free football, what kind of year do you think he has statistically in him. What is the high point, and what do you think would be the minimum floor that gets the 49ers into the playoffs and having people agree, yeah, that's a good year for Trey Lance?
I mean, I think it's one of those things you're going to have to see it, because when I left 49ers camp, I got the feeling that they're going to try to be as diverse or more so than they were a year ago offensively. I think they feel like it's absolutely vital to have a top running game, you know, a top 5, 6, 7 running game in the league, because they want to make sure that they're not putting everything on Trey Lance's shoulders. I mean, if you read Shanahan writing about, talking about, you know, exactly, you know, kind of bemoaning how expectations are what they are, and a guy who needs room to grow and to make mistakes, that, you know, obviously it's going to be difficult for him to grow and make mistakes the way that a veteran quarterback would have that opportunity to do so, because clearly this is a team that has a chance to play really well and to play deep into the postseason. But to me, I think a 3,500-yard passing season, 62% completions, you know, plus 10 touchdowns to interception would be fantastic for him. I think much more than that seems to me, anyway, to be unrealistic.
What's funny is we looked at Jimmy Garoppolo's first year as a starter. And again, it's a kind of an unfair comparison, because at this point, Garoppolo had been in the NFL for 5 years and he was in his second plus year in Shanahan's system. But he was at 69% with 3,900 yards, 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. And there's no doubt that everything Lance does is going to be compared to Garoppolo. You look at some of those raw Garoppolo numbers and you'd think, geez, why would you even try to replace that guy?
Yeah. Well, I also think that if you're a coach of a team, a lot goes into that. You know, a lot, you know, do you feel like he's the best guy for your offense? I think they view Trey Lance as a guy who is going to be able to be a little bit more mobile, going to be able to get on the edge a little bit more. And so I really think that it's right to compare him to Garoppolo, but you just said it. A guy in his fifth year, especially Jimmy Garoppolo, who had a much better who had a lot more experience at this point in his career. You just can't. I just can't get over the fact that they're handing this. I don't mean that's the wrong term. I can't get past the fact that Trey Lance has started one season of football since he graduated from high school, and that one season was at 1AA, FBS, or whatever it's called now. So that's why I just can't emphasize strongly enough that I think people need to be patient with him.
In your time talking with Kyle Shanahan, did you get a sense of the level of his concern for his offensive line? Because that's going to have a lot to do with how his quarterback does, no matter what his statistics are. Do you get the sense that Shanahan thinks his offensive line is as yet incomplete?
A very, very good question. Quite honestly, I did not get a sense because we didn't talk about it. So I've got to plead a little bit of the fifth on that. But I also think that it's fair to say that anyone would be concerned about an offensive line when you're talking about a guy who, you know, you're talking about blocking for a guy who is going to need an extra tick of time. So I just think Shanahan thinks it all plays together, in that, you know, you want a really good offensive line because essentially if you don't have one, then what does that mean for your quarterback who needs time? And so I don't know, Ray. I know that if they don't block very well, it's going to be really, really tough for this kid.
Peter, outside of physical performance, and you talk to quarterbacks at all points in their career cycles, what did you take away from Trey Lance? Because the one thing, and we have played some of the sound from your interview, thanks very much, and we've been courtesying your page and NBC Sports for that sound all day, as appropriately enough. It sounds like he's already very good at the NFL soundbite. He can filibuster an answer enough to where you think you got an answer, but you come back and look at it, and he really didn't say much, which is sort of the perfect way to go about it. What was your impression of Trey Lance, the person?
He, you know, everything that everybody in this organization says they love the guy. Kyle Shanahan said flat out, I love coaching Trey Lance. And so, as far as the media game goes, because I'm in the media, this is going to sound weird. I don't care. I don't care if a guy wants to talk to me, if he's any good talking to me, if he's any good at all. That's not their job. He was very pleasant, very polite, good. But you're right. He really didn't say anything. But I think that's just the way he is right now. He doesn't want to talk. Okay? He wants to play football and to prove himself a little bit. So at some point, you know, soon, you know, maybe you'll be able to find out who he really is and about his background and everything like that. But I think right now he does what he has to do with the media, it sounds like, and doesn't really want to be a big star. He just wants to do his job.
You know, we were looking at some of the numbers of his social media presence, and for a guy who's got a presence on social media, there isn't an awful lot of interaction with Trey Lance on social media, and I think that that's a good thing. It's a good way to keep your headspace about you. When it comes to the media game, though, Peter, it's not, you know, the quotes that we get and the sound bites we get to play. To me, it's either, are you there, you know, adding to the bomb that might go off, or do you defuse them? Like, I totally think that Baker Mayfield is still in Cleveland had he had smaller rabbit ears and a better relationship and a less combative relationship with local and national media.
Maybe, but I mean, I still think that they just had a feeling that, you know, especially Jimmy Haslam, you know, he wanted to try to hit the home run. But I understand what you're saying. It does a quarterback no good to sort of be a public turd. It doesn't help the guy. If you play great, you can be however you want. But I think Trey Lance realizes that it has nothing to do right now with what I say. It only has something to do with what I do.
I'm going to resist the urge to ask how you would define a private turd and ask instead, at what point in the preseason cycle do you get a really good sense of where teams fit in? You know, how you look at, say, a division and who's best, who looks live, who looks like they're going to fall. Do you get a sense of that, or do you even look for that when you're going on your tour?
I mean, today I'm at the Rams, and half the offense seems like they're hurt. Cooper Kupp's out. Matthew Stafford had a great day today, and after practice I said to him, surprised to see your arm is still attached from everything I heard. But he's not gonna have any issue playing. But they just got a bunch of guys banged up right now, so they're glad they don't have to play right now. They think they're going to be whole by opening day. But I don't think training camp for the most part tells you all that much. Except, I mean, I think it tells you something. Like when I was in Kansas City and I saw Juju Smith-Schuster playing in practice like it was a playoff game, and making 100 plays in this one particular day, you walk away saying, now that guy's going to be a factor in the offense, and they need him. But I think in general, most of what you see in a practice in the preseason is not that important. One thing I would say about about, and Lance really didn't agree with me on this, but one thing I would say is that I think his motion, I think his mechanics, and I think his decisiveness are all better than I remember a year ago. I mean, he looks confident, and he looks like he belongs. And I think for him this year, I think it's going to come down to accuracy. I think that's a bit still an uncertain thing with him. And so I think that's going to be an important thing to follow, especially early.
Peter King will be joining us at 5 o'clock throughout the entire football season on Tuesdays. He's nice enough to be with us today as he's getting a look at teams and training camps. And Sunday, you were there on Sunday, right, in Santa Clara?
Yes.
So yeah. That was the day where I guess Debo sort of went into the backfield for the very first time and explored that wide back role a little bit more. What were your impressions of that?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, he looked like Debo Samuel looked last year, but I think from talking to Shanahan and from talking to people there, I don't think they fully intend to use him the way they used him last year in that spot. I think the way they used him last year was a matter of necessity by year's end. I don't think Kyle wants to do that again this year. I would think he would have significantly fewer carries unless, of course, they get hit again by a spate of injuries in the backfield. But I think they want him to be a wide receiver who can be a multiple weapon, but mostly a wide receiver.
How much of that is tied to the fact that they believe that Elijah Mitchell might be the guy who can carry the ball 350 times? And how much of that? How much of that is?
I don't think anybody will carry it 350 times in the NFL this year. Period. But
okay, well, then we'll say
carry it 280. But
yeah, okay. Well, then how much of it do you think was part of their contract discussions, where they, even though it might not have been in the contract, where Debo Samuel made a persuasive case for not being used the way he was last year?
That I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. He's a person who has convictions about a lot of things, and I'm sure he has convictions about how he should be used. But I will say this, for 6 weeks last year, he was probably the most exciting player as a Swiss Army knife of anybody in the league. And so if I were him, I'd be careful what I wish for. Not that I would want to carry it 10 times a game, but that's a good little card to be able to have in your back pocket to play if you need to. Shanahan is going to do that, but I just got the distinct impression he doesn't want him running 6 to 8 times every game. I think he wants to use it at times, but certainly not consistently every game.
Peter, you know, experience matters for players. I think it very much matters for coaches, too, especially as you're promoted through the ranks. This is D'Amico Ryans' second season as a defensive coordinator. How better equipped is he with what I think is going to be on paper a better defense to go out and have success this year?
I think last year was a great year for him because he had to adjust to some injuries and he had to adjust to some differing circumstances for how they had to play. If you look at the Green Bay game, and he had to know coming in that the way his defense plays was going to be vital to them being able to win the game. We don't talk about D'Amico Ryans and those guys on defense nearly enough coming out of that game because, in my opinion, if you look at the way that game unfolded, their defense took away almost everything that Aaron Rodgers wanted to do and frustrated him to the point that he absolutely unequivocally made a terrible decision on the crucial play of the game right at the end where he threw to a double covered, forced the ball to, a double covered Devontae Adams instead of throwing it to an absolutely wide open Allen Lazard for an easy first down. And I'm not trying to rewrite the past, but that game changes drastically if he throws the ball to Lazard instead of wasting a throw into tight double coverage to Devontae Adams. But that's the effect of the defense that the Niners played and the effect of the defense that that was designed by D'Amico Ryans.
Have you gotten any sense from anybody who you would regard as legitimate, who has a guess about when a decision will be made on Deshaun Watson?
I think a lot of people jumped the gun on it, but I keep thinking that it can't go past Friday. It's called an expedited appeal. Okay, so I mean, 2 weeks is beyond expedited. So I would be surprised. I mean, at some point, I'm not playing violins for the Browns, but at some point, you've got to be fair to the Browns. You know, you've got to let them know so that if the Browns want to do something, you know, maybe, who knows? I doubt it, but maybe they want to go and try to make a reasonable deal for Garoppolo. I don't know. But I would be surprised if the decision did not come down by Friday.
Peter, as we get into a year where, again, we're talking about coaching, we, you know, we still got the old guards, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, still fantastic at what they do. But I really look at, you know, Shanahan, McVay, and LaFleur having all been on a same staff, and I think of them all as contemporaries, and they all have shared backgrounds. Are we really looking at an age of three new wise men in terms of elite coaches in this league?
I think so, and I think there's more on the way, especially younger guys, even though I think, you know, I was with Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator of the Rams today. I think he's going to get a job next year, the absolute outside 2 years from now. But I do think that the guys who you talked about, you know, I know there's one owner currently in the NFL who has said to people in his organization, your job this year is to find me the next McVay. And, well, no crap, Sherlock. I mean, who doesn't want the next McVay? Who doesn't want the next Shanahan? I get it. But that is what is hot right now. Those guys, they're really smart. You see, it seems like one or two guys from McVay's staff get a job almost every year. You know, Kevin O'Connell this year in Minnesota. So I think that the branches on the McVay tree and, you know, all the guys connected with Shanahan, LaFleur, all the guys who were originally on that Washington staff, I think you're going to see more and more people go that way because that currently is the hot way basically develop coaches because offense is the thing right now.
Who's the next Peter King?
I hope that there's about 500 of them. I think there's a lot of great people in our business right now. I was with one of them today, Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic, up in Thousand Oaks, California with that team. You know what I love about our business right now? There's a lot of women in it who if I was a sports editor right now, that I would hire in a split second. I just think, look, when I broke into the business, it was a white man's world. It's still mostly a white man's world, but it encourages me that we're getting more really good minority candidates and more really good women in this job right now. So that's something that encourages me.
Peter, thank you very much for at least being the original Peter King, and we're going to hold on to you as long as we possibly can. I can promise you that. Thank you very, very much for joining us. Safe travels as you tour training camp.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.